You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, our guest tells us how to think critically in a post-truth era. Right now, it wasn't that long ago that a simple pedometer was the only real wearable fitness technology, but now everything from Fitbits to apps on smartphones track your steps, your heart rate, flights of stairs climbed, and even the quality of your sleep. But does all this cutting-edge technology make us healthier? A recent study says not necessarily. So we asked Regan Gorung why that might be. He's the Ben J. and Joyce Rosenberg Professor of Human Development and Psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and he joins us now from our Green Bay studios. Regan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, some of these recent studies have looked at these fitness trackers and whether they help people lose weight or, on the other end, maybe just be more active. So in general, tell us, if you would, what they found.
So this is one of those wonderful situations where you go, you know, there's all this technology out there. It's part of something that's called the quantified self movement, where we try and measure every aspect of what we do. And, you know, you hit a lot of those things. How much are we sleeping? And, of course, a big one is how active are we? So for the last 4 or 5 years that these devices have been out there, and I should say those devices have been out there a little longer, but for the last 4 or 5 years, we've finally begun to see a number of studies that say, look, does having one of these fitness trackers actually do something? And there were a number of studies that said, well, you know, it doesn't seem to make a difference, but a lot of the studies that were out there had many methodological issues. They had small sample sizes. And then not too long ago, there was a very large study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and this was with authors out at in Pittsburgh, and it was something called the IDEA trial. And this study was something that a lot of people paid attention to because it was a 2-year study, one of the longest studies done on something like this, with a really nice sample size. There were about 470 adults in it. And what they did was, firstly, they gave everybody advice on how to get active and how to lose weight. And then about midway through the study, they randomly selected half of that group and gave that half a wearable fitness tracker. And of course, the big question was, did the group who had this device do any better than the group that didn't? Now, there was good news and there's bad news. The good news was everybody in this study lost some weight and got more active. And that's a nice thing. That was what the study was about. And remember, everybody in the study got the same information on how to do it. The big question, though, is did the people who have those fitness devices actually lose more weight and were they more active? And the sad answer is, well, maybe sad is putting a value judgment on it, but the surprising answer is no. In fact, when the group that was wearing the devices lost on average 7.5 pounds, the group that didn't have the devices actually lost 13 pounds on average.
It kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? You think, well, I mean, I guess on one hand, you think that data is power. So if you have all these data points about how you're doing, surely you can use it to influence your behavior and be more successful. So what do you think happened, Regan?
Well, I think there's a number of things going on here. And in some ways, this is not too surprising in terms of how, when we think about just about anything that's out there for fitness. And, you know, I bet a good number of listeners have in their basements something that they bought to help them with fitness, and they used it when they first got it, and now it's just gathering dust. A fitness tracker is not that different. It's exciting. It's something new. Based on some of the ones that are out there, it's actually pretty a snazzy accessory on top of it all. And the biggest things that it gives you is something that makes, I think, that makes what you're doing more visible and active and actually nudges you when you aren't doing something, right? So you would think, yes, it should happen. But the problem with all these different things is if it's the only thing that you're changing, it's not going to work. One of the biggest things health psychologists now know is that to keep motivation going, if you just change one element, if you don't change other things around with it, you're not going to keep it sustained. So I think a phrase for all of us to keep in mind is whatever change that we put in place, we've got to keep at it. Whether it's more walking, whether it's running more or exercising more, whether it's watching what we eat, the bottom line is we've got to keep at it. And a fitness tracker is great at getting us starting to do something. You know, there's this big uptick in how active people are once they buy it, once they first use it, but it then drops out. And that's why, if you ask me, what do you think is going on in this study here? The fact that it's a two-year study probably explains a lot of the issue. I would bet if we carved up that data into the first 6 months or the first year, we wouldn't see the same results as we would when you look at it over 2 years. People use the tracker a lot in the beginning, and then it drops off. So our big challenge is, as human beings who want to live healthier lives, is how do we keep at those healthy behaviors?
So it sounds like people may be tapered off, but it also sounded like you were suggesting that we zoom in on it too much and we get obsessed with it, and we, to the exclusion of other things, it may be just, or maybe even more important.
Well, you know, I think if we kept this question simple and said, do fitness trackers work? Well, the question is, what do you mean do they work? Do they measure your activity? Yes, they do. Will they actually make you lose weight? Well, not by themselves. You know, you can buy a great new pair of shoes and go, I'm going to start running next week. I've got this pair of shoes. But if you don't put those pair of shoes on and keep running with them, you're not going to get more physically active or physically fit. And I think a fitness tracker is something like that. It's a novel way. It's something that's, you know, it's great to check out all those things that it can do. But, you know, let's not forget that, you know, you can take one step back technology-wise. Most of the phones that all of us carry do a lot of the things that fitness trackers can do. And if it's a question of reminding you to get up and get active, you know, you can really go old school and use some Post-its. You know, you stick some Post-its around that say, hey, have you stood up? Don't you think it's time to take a walk? Way cheaper than Fitbits, you know?
I can never find Post-its when I need it.
Yeah, my kids take most of mine.
We're talking to Regan Gurung right now from UW Green Bay, a professor of human development and psychology. And we're talking about news, a couple of studies now that show that Fitbits are not seemingly so effective for helping us to get more fit or to lose weight. And Regan, another point that was brought up in a New York Times article about this topic was that, according to science, as it stands now at least, if you want to lose weight, you alter your diet. If you want to improve your health, you exercise. So it may be if people have weight loss goals, they're focusing maybe on the wrong thing. Do you think that's part of it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, to take that, to expand that just a little bit, I think we've got to keep in mind there are three big things to keep in mind, both in terms of whenever you hear about a study like this and whenever you think about your own health. It's the three things are you male or female, how old are you, and how long are you planning on doing it? Because each of those three variables can make the world of a difference. Male and female physiology is slightly different. How we store fat is slightly different. Your age, boy, you know, as a person ages, how they store fat and how they metabolize fat changes. So in this study that I talked about, it's important to state that the age range was the 18 to 35-year-old. So if you are not in that age range, to some extent, those findings from the study don't generalize to you as well. And I think this is important because you mentioned the New York Times article. The BBC has also been doing some studies, some reporting on this. And when I look at a lot of the different studies that are mentioned, I noticed a lot of the studies are done on a very different age group, the 60 to 75-year-old. Hmm. So if you're not paying attention to the sample age, and let's say you're 21, well, that study that's done on a 60 to 75-year-old male and you're a 21-year-old woman, there's a lot of physiological differences in terms of the metabolic system and so on that, you know, just aren't the same. So there's really a lot to keep in mind before you just take one of those studies and go, oh, gosh, that was, you know, money not well spent.
So does it work better if you're older?
Well, it's actually easier for younger individuals to get their metabolic system going. When you're older, our metabolic system doesn't do what it used to do when we were younger. People will notice that even if they keep most things about the same, their eating habits, their physical activity habits, they will start putting on weight.
Yeah, that's just not fair.
tell me about it. That's just a very natural way to go. So I think what's important is you know, really getting that physical activity going. And you know, watch for, you know, before you jump out and follow something, watch where that recommendation's coming from. My favorite is the 10,000 steps. One study in 1960 in Japan showed that the average number of steps Japanese men took to burn 3,000 calories was 10,000. One study, 1960. And because of that one study, everybody throws around the, got to get my 10,000 steps in. So don't get me wrong, 10,000 steps, that's great. But you know what? For some of us, 10,000 steps are not enough. For others, we don't need 10,000 steps. So again, watch those, you know, before we jump on and say, oh, it's helping me get my 10,000 steps. Well, put things in place to get you active. Put things in place to get you active. And again, that phrase, keep at it. You know, what can you do to your life, to your lifestyle, that'll help you keep at a behavior change, whether it's increasing activity or watching what you eat? And, you know, going back to what your original question, yep, those two things are really important. We can't just change one thing and think that things will magically happen for us.
And Ricky, we're just about out of time, but a lot of people have these things already. If they have them, what should they do? Should they throw them out or sell them? You know,
no,
or should
absolutely
they keep
not.
At it?
I think for those folks listening who have it, I really hope you're using it. If you haven't used it in a long time, dust it off and put things into place to make sure that you can keep at it. Because Fitbits are a great way to make sure it to remind you how active you are, but you've got to keep doing it. You can't just do it for a while and stop. So, folks, keep at it. Put things into place. What those things are, I guess that's a whole nother day.
Regan, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
That was Regan Gurung, professor of human development and psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He joined us from our Green Bay studios to talk about the effectiveness of devices like Fitbits. Coming up after the news, a neuroscientist tells us how to practice critical thinking in a world of fake news, bad data, and half-truths. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.